Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. Hello, I'm general dentist Dr. Kvitko, and thank you for joining me here today. I really appreciate it. We have a jam-packed show. Actually, the title of today's show is Today We Will Hear from Members of Dr. Kvitko's Front Office Team. Listen while they explain what they do and why. Now, this episode is going to be the front office, and you might remember a week or so ago we did the back office, meaning the dental assistants and the hygienists. Today it's going to be the office manager and the frontline supervisor and the receptionist, all those folks up there. Before we do, you might know that I do a Dentistry from the Heart event each year, and this year our event will be June 14th. Well, what's happened is it's kind of caught on, and other offices are now doing it as well. And so today I want to mention that there will be a Dentistry from the Heart event on April 5th from 7 a.m. till 4 p.m. at the Fixari Family Dental Office at 4241 Kimberly Parkway. That's near Eastland Mall. All right. Last year, Dr. Fixari and his companions in his office, they treated a couple hundred patients, provided $67,000 worth of services. And this year they promise it's going to be even bigger and better. They are going to have 18 dentists and 6 hygienists, as well as dozens of volunteers. And they're kind of doing the same thing that we do, which is they get local restaurants and folks to donate money and food and drink, and so that everybody can be comfortable and, you know, be fed while they're waiting in line. So they're going to have music and entertainment and try to make it a great festive atmosphere, just like we have done. So April 5th from 7 to 4 at Fixari Family Dental, 4241 Kimberly Parkway in Columbus by Eastland Mall. And, go and get your free dental care. It's cleanings, extractions, and fillings. And then those that don't get treated are welcome to come to ours on June 14th. Okay, so we're going to get to the show today, which is we're going to hear from members of my front office team. Listen while they explain what they do and why. All right, so last week, I think it was last week, we were talking to dental assistants and my dental hygienist about their job and the kind of things that they do and what they like most about their job and those kinds of things. And we kind of ran out of time because my plan was to talk to everybody in my dental office to help folks understand what it is that they do. And so now we're going to continue that theme, and I have my office manager, Mary Jane. So how are you, Mary Jane?
I'm good, thanks.
All right, so now you've been working as an office manager in dental offices for how many years?
Oh, longer than I'd like to admit. Probably about 12 or 13 years.
Okay, 12 or 13. That's a long time. So now, what would you say is the most rewarding part about your job?
I'd have to say the best part has to be when I talk to a patient for the first time and they're really scared, and I help them overcome whatever their issue is with making that first appointment, maybe if they haven't been in for a few years, helping them get in the door and find out it's really not as scary as they thought it was going to be. That's really rewarding.
Okay, because I'm scary, right?
Terrifying. No, I think people are just so afraid of some bad experience they've had in the past that they just let that dominate all their thinking about their future dental treatment.
Okay, and I just thought we probably need to let people know, what does a dental office manager actually do? You tell me. I mean, I know what you do, but tell me.
I get all the glamorous jobs in the office, actually. If something isn't working right, or something needs to be corrected, something's not going the way that it should. I'm kind of like an air traffic controller. I kind of keep things moving. A little bit of that, and I'm there to pick up the slack if there's an issue with something, or somebody just needs a little extra hand.
Okay, that's actually a good analogy because I've said before that I can't be the air traffic controller and the pilot at the same time. And when I'm doing a root canal or I'm taking out wisdom teeth, I'm the pilot at that point. And I need somebody who can be the air traffic controller and kind of make sure everybody gets where they need to be and make sure that if I'm running behind, my next patient knows it, or if I'm running ahead, that my next patient can be called, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. There's just there's too many things for one person just to handle it all.
So you're responsible to make sure we have enough dental assistants, that we have a hygienist there. So sometimes people call in sick and you have to deal with that, right?
Oh yeah, that's again one of the glamorous jobs of dentistry, is making sure that we have enough staff to keep things moving throughout the day.
I think that's your favorite part, right? When people don't show up on last minute?
Actually, my favorite part is when a very critical piece of equipment in the office, or something you completely take for granted, breaks for absolutely no reason and no warning. Those are always fun days because you just have to get creative trying to get things taken care of and continue throughout the day without it.
Okay. So it's making sure we have enough employees. It's making sure that we have the right equipment works. It's making sure the computers work. Making sure that we have enough dental supplies. Making sure that we have a fire in the fireplace if it's cold out, just for the ambiance, right?
Yes, absolutely.
There's water in the coffee pot and it's turned on.
Yeah, it's something as simple as making sure we have creamer to go with the coffee is an important part of what I do.
Yeah, I think it's funny because people think this stuff just materializes. It's just there and they don't even think of who did that? Who bought that? Who went and got it?
I don't even know if I should classify it like this, but it's almost like being a mom. Your kids just kind of expect that stuff to be taken care of and not really consider, oh yeah, mom has to make sure that this is done and that is done to keep the household running.
So what about hiring and firing? How did you come to possess the skills you do with figuring out people, figuring out employees, who's the right one, when it's time to cut ties, that sort of thing?
You know, that's actually a terribly hard part of the job, because even if someone isn't, say their skill set isn't suited for the job, it doesn't mean that they're not a good person. It doesn't mean that you don't like the person. But really the hardest part is just separating yourself and looking at things logically and saying, what is the best decision for the business versus what do I personally feel?
Yeah, I remember not that long ago, won't use any names, of course, but there was a new employee that I just loved to death and just loved their personality and just everything about them, except they just didn't really know how to do the job. And I've always said we hire nice people and teach them how to do the job, but this person wasn't really picking it up. It was taking way too long, and I was getting really worried, and I wanted so much for them to begin to grasp what they needed to learn so that we could keep them. And so it's kind of like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things you have to make a decision. Is it the best interest for the overall practice? Is that investment of your time worth it in the long run to bring them up to speed and make them the type of employee you need them to be?
Yeah, I want, like I said, with this particular person, I was willing to invest a little more time because I really, really wanted them to, I wanted to keep them because, you know, we can't teach them to be nice if their parents didn't, but we can teach them how to suction. We can teach them how to go get the pressure indicator paste for a denture adjustment. But yet it was looking, by the way, this was before you came back, actually. We did get to keep the person.
Yes. I think if you look back over time, some of the best employees that you've had for different positions are people who actually didn't actually start out with dental as a previous job. They had had no experience with dental, but they had good, solid customer service, incredible respect for other people, and they picked up things and molded into the job perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. And so there are these schools that people can go to learn to be, well, you know what, there's no school for dental office manager, though, is there? There's a school where they can learn to be a dental assistant, a school where they can learn to be a dental hygienist, but there is no formal training. So every office manager, now that I think about it, is kind of like either self-trained or doctor-trained. Is that true?
Oh, I absolutely think so. I think everybody that I've ever encountered who's an office manager has either come from being doctor-trained or other staff-trained as a front desk person and then moved into that position, or sometimes that's where hygienists wind up when carpal tunnel drives them out of their profession. But there's no place to go. I mean, it's not, you can learn healthcare administration in a college, but it really doesn't apply to dental as much as it would to a medical office.
Right, or a hospital or something like that, where they have just all kinds of people that they need to administer to that facility. Okay, so now, so you like getting people over their fear, and don't mention any names. What's your least favorite part of the? Oh, you said when things break, right?
Yes, that's my least favorite, is when something important, like one of our sterilizers, or will break for absolutely no reason, or a mysterious plumbing leak somewhere in the building. Those are my least favorite things, putting out fires.
Okay, and you also have to be like the insurance expert, right?
Oh, absolutely, because I've been dealing with dental insurance for an awful long time, and it still sometimes is confusing to me. I couldn't imagine what it's like to some person off the street who really only deals with it once or twice a year, if that, and now they have something complicated and they don't know what's covered and what isn't.
What do you say to the people that tell you, everything's covered, my insurance covers the whole bill, don't worry?
That would be really awesome. And when I find that insurance that covers everything, I will recommend it to every person I meet. Sadly, it's just not that case. In fact, I've seen a couple insurance companies that refer to their product as dental assistance now instead of calling themselves dental insurance, because it's just not designed to cover everything.
Yeah, and in my opinion, it's not designed to cover anything. What do you think?
Well, I was trying to give some insurance companies the benefit of the doubt, and I know it does help a little bit. And I think when it comes to taking care of something that you need, I'm happy with anything that'll help me and not make me have to pay the whole thing out of pocket.
Yeah, so yeah, we're not going to turn down their $100 if they're helping, or $500 if they're going to help us. But yet we have to kind of go in the door with the notion that it is just a little bit of a discount against care. What do you think about the people that, let me put it this way, there are a lot of people that want to go to an in-network dentist because they think that they're going to, you know, save money. They tend to forget that they still have that yearly maximum hanging over their head. So they're kind of signing up for what could be inferior care because they think they're going to get better benefits. But they don't really know that. Have you had those kind of conversations with folks?
I do, and I think it's one of those things that you really have to consider what's important. When a doctor agrees to take those ridiculously discounted amounts in lieu of payment for their full fees, what things are they sacrificing? Are they not having properly trained people? Are they getting inferior quality products? Is their lab work being made outside of the country? What corners are they cutting to be able to keep the doors open at those lower prices? I guess it's just something you really have to consider what's important when it comes to making your healthcare decisions.
Right, and I don't think people understand, because dental insurance companies have this interesting way of, all insurance companies actually do think about it, they call the bill a premium.
They do, and there's lots of other words and things that they use in terminology to try to make things better.
So they use the word preferred provider when that's really code for a dentist willing to work at about a 40% discount, and nobody's told that.
No, absolutely not. And one of my favorite euphemisms that dental insurance uses is to use the term premier over preferred in describing some of their products. And you would assume that the word premier means it's actually a better product, in which case, in this one particular insurance company's instance, it's not. It's actually a lesser product, and the patient pays more out of pocket than someone who goes to a preferred dentist, but they use the word premier, and to me, that's a word that's something that I would want. I would think premier is better, the better choice, but in that situation, it is not.
So people who don't understand their insurance, what should they do? They should call, ask to speak to the insurance specialist or the office manager and say, can you help me understand my insurance?
Sure. Almost anybody, when you call a dental office, almost anybody who answers the phone should be well-versed in the basics of dental insurance. If you don't know, pick up the phone and call. There's always somebody who can answer the question for you. And if the first person you reach when you call your office doesn't know, I bet you they can find you the person in that office who handles it.
Okay, and then I would add to that, when you don't like the answer you get, don't necessarily argue with the person on the phone, because they've gone to the website, they're telling you exactly what the insurance company is going to, not exactly, because even that's not even known, but they're telling you how it works. You might not like what you're hearing, because maybe your personnel person said, no, it's covered, there's no deductible, blah, blah. But they don't really know, and nothing is really set in stone until that check is written, including the pretreatment estimates, right?
Yeah, that's actually another very frustrating portion of my job, is sometimes patients, you know, people are on budgets and they have to work within their means. And some patients do request that we get a pretreatment estimate from their insurance plan. And we have that in hand, and the insurance company will say we will pay X number of dollars. But in all honesty, that's not a guarantee. Until they have the claim in hand, that's the only official what they're going to pay is what they actually do pay.
Right. And even on, they call it EOB, which stands for explanation of benefits. Even on there, there's always verbiage that says, even though we're telling you we're going to most likely pay $800 on this when you do this work, it's not a guarantee. And it could be different when the check actually arrives. So people don't get that, and they take it as like a promise. Well, my insurance company promised to pay $100. Why are they only paying $682? You must charge too much, might be the next thing that comes to their mind, right?
Well, and it comes back to us because we're more accessible than their insurance company, even though we've tried to be as honest as possible and explain what the total cost is and what we guess or we think your insurance is going to cover. But when it comes down to it, they pretty much pay what they want to, and we really just don't have a say in that at all.
Okay. And then I also think, just as a general rule, people, we should keep in mind that when somebody gives you an estimate, that an estimate is exactly that, an estimate. An estimate and a quote are two different words, two different things. So we might have to estimate what the charge is going to be because we don't know if there's going to be a root canal necessary. We don't know what we're going to find under this tooth. If it's not savable, if it's savable, we might estimate to you it's going to be this. And we estimate your insurance is going to cover that. If we knew for sure that we were doing like three fillings and they weren't going to change, we could give you a quote that says, this is what we're going to charge you, Mr. or Mrs. Dental Patient. But if we don't know, and there are a lot of times when you can't, we have to give an estimate. And do you see that people forget that estimates are not exactly, they're not a guarantee?
I think it's again an issue with just understanding the nature of the beast. If we were replacing, if we were changing the oil or replacing a battery, there are very specific things that, a very strict group of parameters that would give us an idea of what the cost is. Unfortunately, no two people have the same teeth. There are different issues that you can run into all the time. There's decay that hides under old crowns that you just can't see until you get that crown off. So a lot of times we are having to, you know, make changes to what we estimate is going to be the work done, just simply because we can't tell until we actually start getting into the work and find out what really needs to be done.
So when people get an estimate, they should ask, is this an estimate or is this a quote? Maybe they should kind of, because we want to communicate, we want to make sure we're upfront and honest with people. It's just that sometimes you just can't know. And so we can try to help them understand their insurance, but if we don't even know until we get in there if the tooth is cracked, if the tooth needs a root canal, if, you know, those kinds of things, we can't give them an exact number. And there seems to be, I think we're all like this, we hear a number and that's the only thing we remember.
And that does happen with a lot of people. I think the biggest thing is if you're just not sure or you have questions, just ask. I think a lot of people are just intimidated, afraid to find out more information, and it could be right there and they're just missing out on it.
Okay. Well, any parting words of wisdom? We've got about a minute and a half or so. Anything you'd like people to know? Or
I would remind everybody to schedule your next cleaning appointment. Even if you have to move it 6 months down the road, if you don't schedule it, you're going to forget about it. And then it'll be 2 years later and you'll be too embarrassed to call your office and get in to take care of your toothache.
Exactly. We had a guy just today that hasn't been here in 3 years and he had a toothache that he brought him in. And then he goes, after we fixed his teeth, he said, well, did you see any cavities? And I said, you didn't come for an exam. You said you had a sore tooth. We fixed your sore tooth. He goes, oh, well, can I get an exam and a cleaning? And I said, sure, we can do that, but we scheduled him back for today. So, yeah, and we teasingly told him that he comes once every 3 years, whether he needs it or not, but actually he's going to come back.
Great.
Okay, well, thanks again, and keep doing what you do because you do a great job. I'm really happy to have you here, and I know the patients just love you to death. And so does the team.
Great. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye now.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko.
If you love Asian cuisine, you owe it to yourself to try Wang's Teriyaki Asian Takeout Restaurant. Known for their better quality and lower prices, at Wang's Teriyaki, you can eat in, pick up your food for carryout, or let them deliver their delicious entrees right to your home, as fresh as if the chef cooked it on the grill right in front of you. Wang's Teriyaki is conveniently located at 4330 North High Street in Clintonville. call them at 614-261-8881. That's 614-261-8881. Wang's Teriyaki, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Jeff with Myers Jewelers. Make that special someone happy with a gift from Myers Jewelers. Myers Jewelers, the home of the world-famous Myers Jewelers Gold Rose, now available in 12 assorted colors. Give the rose that lasts forever. Another great gift is Pandora bracelets and beads. At Myers Jewelers, we have a Pandora boutique within our store, stocked with all the latest Pandora beads and jewelry. Come visit the family on Stringtown Road in Grove City and experience Myers Jewelers.
State ascoltando Dentally Speaking con il dottor Kvitko, qui sulla vostra radio preferita.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Today we are hearing from members of my front office dental team. We started with my office manager, and now let's hear from my front desk supervisor. So now I have my, I guess you would be considered what, the frontline supervisor?
Yes.
Okay, and it's Desiree. And Desiree, how long have you been working in a dental office of some sort?
It's been almost 7 years now.
And how did you get into it to begin with? Because if I'm not mistaken, didn't you start at an orthodontic office?
Yes, I started in an ortho office. I did my dental assisting training my last 2 years of high school. And then I did an externship at an ortho office my last year of high school. And then after that, I started working there permanently.
So you were about, what, 15 when you decided dentistry was going to be it for you?
Yep, I was about 15, 16 years old.
Okay, and by the way, Desiree has a beautiful smile. Was that kind of part of it?
No, I didn't originally have this, but it meant a lot to me to get a beautiful smile, and that's why I wanted to get in this field.
Okay, great, because it's that and your pretty eyes are like your neat ass. What's the word I'm looking for? Attribute.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so at 15, you're a sophomore in high school, mm-hmm. and you decided that, what career center was it? Is it through the Columbus Public Schools or what?
No, I went to Grovemore High School, and the Eastland Career Center was actually right next door.
Oh, okay. And that's the thing where you would go to regular class in the morning, and then the afternoon you would go to the Career Center, or how did that work?
I actually did all of my classes. That was an option, but I wanted to stay there, so I was able to focus on my course. So I took all my even high school courses at the Career Center, and then your last 4 hours of the day as a junior was your dental assisting course.
As a junior, what about as a senior?
As a senior, you would do your dental assisting course in the morning, and then you do your classes after that.
Okay, and by the way, I didn't know you were a dental assistant. You've been holding that on me?
No, no, I was not, you know, got certified or anything.
You could be my dental assistant when we're shorthanded?
Yeah, I have my radiology license, and I got the training in there. It's been a while since I did general dental assisting, because I did ortho for so many years, but yeah.
Okay, ortho is primarily children, right?
Yes, it's mostly children. There were some adults, but mostly children all day.
Okay, and so you would actually help place brackets and bands?
Mm-hmm. I would fit the bands, and then, of course, the doctor would cement them and everything, and I'd assist the doctor in placing the brackets and changing the wires and the ties on the brackets, and it was fun.
Okay. Well, that's neat. So I didn't realize this. You've probably quietly been critiquing the six-month smile cases that I do, haven't you?
No, I'm not critiquing, but it's a lot of fun to watch because, ortho is my heart.
Okay. So, no, what would you say? Like, we just finished one, what, yesterday? And what'd you think of that?
It was really good. She looked so pretty, nice and straight teeth, and she was just smiling the whole time. It was really good.
Were you a little bit reticent to know that you're coming to an office where the general dentist is doing some ortho? Did you kind of assume because we're a general dental office we wouldn't do a good job?
No, not at all. I was excited because I get to see a little ortho. Although as general dentist, I still get to a little part of that field, so it's fun.
Okay. All right. So, of course, here we got off on a tangent, but now I know you're a dental assistant, so don't be surprised if you wind up back there someday.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So, because I think it's interesting because there is no training for front desk supervisor, and even in the career centers. I wonder why that is. Did they teach you anything about working at the front desk in your training?
Well, my junior year of the dental assisting course, I did have, they called it business dental assisting. It was just a course you did once a week, and it was about an hour-long class, and they taught you a little about filling out claims for dental assisting, how you should schedule, and it was just once a week, so it wasn't really too much information they were able to give you.
So you learned a little bit about filing insurance claims?
Yes.
And you learned, what else did you say?
They taught you a little bit about scheduling, and that was basically it, just the insurance claims and a little of scheduling.
So most of your training then was kind of on-the-job training by the orthodontist that you first worked with?
Yes, definitely. They had to teach me everything, and which I appreciate, and I'm still learning, so it's great.
Now, in the externship, is that where you learned most of it, or in the actual first job you got after the externship?
I probably learned more being more hands-on after I started working there and took my classes and passed and got my certificate and everything. That's when I was able to get more hands-on once I was certified.
Okay, and for people that don't know what an externship is, because I think that word's thrown out there a lot and it sounds kind of neat and it sounds important, but what is it?
Well, during school, I would actually leave. Instead of having my dental assistant class, I went and I found an office that was open to training a dental assistant.
And did you get paid?
No, I don't believe I did.
Okay, and so the word externship comes from like external, like you left your home school, you left mm-hmm. school to go externally outside mm-hmm. and into a dental office to get more training, and it counted as school, right?
Oh, yeah, you got hours for that in school. Instead of being in your dental assistant course, you got made those hours up by helping this dental office and they helping you learn about the dental field.
So what percent of your class would you say went to the career center instead of staying in their regular coursework?
As far, you mean from my dental assistant course?
No, from your high school class. So you're a sophomore mm-hmm. and you have a class of maybe, 150 other people in the sophomore class? Mm-hmm. And how many of them do you think went to the career center for some kind of a career rather than continuing in the normal courses and graduating as a high school student going off to a traditional college?
That was a nice percent, probably about 20%, maybe a little bit more, 30-ish percent of my Groveport High School class went to the career center since it was right next door. It was really convenient.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you could still feel like you were kind of part of your high school without having to go there.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's I would think that a school where you had to go 10 miles down the road might not have had such a high percentage, huh?
Yeah, probably not.
Now, by the way, my wife did something similar when she was in high school. Hers was for office work. They called it cooperative office education. And she learned to type, and she learned to, you know, the phone answering skills and everything you need to know to work in, just work as a receptionist in an office, not necessarily dental.
Oh, okay. That's nice. Yeah.
So you still graduated with your class. So you still went back and walked through the graduation ceremonies with everybody else?
Absolutely. You had your graduation with your senior class of your high school, and we also had a dental assisting graduation and a Eastland Career Center. So I had three graduations, which was fun.
Three graduations?
Yes, three ceremonies for each class.
Oh, did you happen to have three parties?
No.
Oh, you missed out.
Yeah, I had one big enough for three parties. There was a lot of people there, so it was good.
So you would recommend that path for others?
Absolutely. I loved it. I wouldn't change anything about it. And, it was a good experience. It gave me a career that I was able to come right out of high school and start.
Yeah, I think sometimes people forget that we need people working at all jobs, you know, all different levels. If everybody were a PhD in something, they wouldn't have anybody to work with, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so now I want to find out, okay, so now you're working here. You work with Dr. Kavitko Metnis and Associates. Mm-hmm. You've been here for what, about a year?
Yeah, it'll be a year next month.
Okay, so tell me, how do you think it is? How's it going? And compared to the orthodontic office, what do you like more? What do you like less?
It's going great. And what I like more is
there's starting to sound like that little girl in those commercials going, well, there's more because more is better. And, you know, the commercial I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yes. Just don't do the werewolf thing. The whoa, 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 whoa.
I won't. No, but you do a lot here in the office. It's not just, you know, your basic fillings or cleanings. You do a lot. It's more broad and spacious. I get to learn more about, I've never worked in a general dentist. It was only ortho. So I get to see all the different fields. You know, we do endo and prosthodontics, periodontics, all of those things. And I was only focused on orthodontics the first 6 years of my career. So I love getting to learn everything about everyone's dentition. So it's been good.
Okay. And when you endodontics, just for the people that don't know, is root canals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's talking shop there. All right. So, and by the way, you've only worked at this general dental office. You haven't worked in any others. You realize that we do a little bit more than a lot of the GPs. We do services that you wouldn't necessarily find at a general dental office.
Exactly. And that's what I love about it.
Oh, okay. Okay. I get it. Now, you talk to people, you're the one that has to talk money, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And did they teach you that in school, or was that something that did they teach you that at the orthodontic office? How do you become comfortable with talking about money? Because there are lots of people that don't like it, not just patients, but people that work the desk.
Mm-hmm. Really, I wasn't taught that in school, no. That was something that I was taught on the job. I learned a little bit in the ortho, but a lot of the training the managers here at your office have taught me also. And I also take view it as a personal experience with our patients. Think about how would I like to have this presented to me, because I know how important it is. And so that's what I try to share with them.
Okay. Well, that's neat, because you look at it, you know that they're benefiting. You're almost doing them a favor. Just like your straight teeth, your beautiful smile. There was a cost for that. Mm-hmm. And somebody at some point said to you, Desiree, this is going to cost $5,000-$6,000. Mm-hmm. And you're saying they did it in a way that was nice enough and understandable enough that, and you knew you wanted it, that you were just happy that they could somehow work out the arrangements, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I knew how important it was for me to get the smile I have, and I want to share that with everyone else.
Now, let's see. We have your picture on drkavitko.com, right? Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to see this beautiful smile, they can go to drkavitko.com, and I think you'll click on our office, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
From there, you go to our staff?
Yes, and then it should be up on there.
Okay. Now, what's been your most rewarding experience that you know what? Hold that thought, because I'm looking here. It looks like it's time to go to a commercial. So when we come back, we're going to find out what Desiree's most rewarding experience has been since coming to work here at Dr. Kavitko Maintenance and Associates. Okay, pretty soon we're going to give out Dr. Kavitko's question of the day. So remember that Mary Jane, my office manager, likens her job to being the air traffic controller. The winner will receive free flowers from Vice Number Florist. But before I give you the question, I'd like you to listen to this.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kavitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kavitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kavitko's question of the day.
And the question of the day is, my office manager, Mary Jane, likens her job to being A, the captain of the ship, B, the conductor of the symphony, C, the air traffic controller, or D, the driver of the bus. The winner will receive free flowers from Vice Denver Florist delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. So go ahead and call now, 459-9769. That's 459-9769.
Hey, this is Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito, and make sure you stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kavitko, let's go!
While most schools raise tuition every year, Assist to Succeed of Columbus's Dental Assisting School in Dublin is still less than $5,000. And that includes everything. Hi, this is Kendra O'Reilly, owner of Assist to Succeed of Columbus's Dental Assisting School, and I'm so proud of my students that have already made the first step in securing a great future for themselves as an in-demand dental assistant.
Hi, my name is Chrissy Lees from Utica. I am a mother of two who works full-time. These weekend classes work great for me. The course is very interesting, and these instructors are amazing. They really want you to succeed. It's only been 2 weeks, and I'm already getting hands-on experience in a dental office.
The next class begins on April 13th. Don't delay. To claim your space or to get more information, call 740-602-1250. That's 740-602-1250. Or go to assisttosucceedofcolumbus.com.
Sie hören zu einer Rede über zahnärztliche Sachen mit Dr. Kitko hier an Ihrer beliebtesten Station.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkavitko at aol.com.
You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby, whistle, baby? Here we go.
All right, we're back and we have people on hold. We have Linda, Ricky, and Rick. And let's go first with Linda. Hey, Linda, how are you? Linda?
Yes.
Hey, do you have an answer for today's Dr. Kovitko question of the day?
Yes, it's the aircraft controller.
That's correct. That's correct. Thank you for listening. And let me just say, Ricky and Rick, call next week, okay? Try again. Linda, what do you do for a living?
I work as a secretary at Mount Carmel.
Okay. So you understand a lot of this customer service stuff
yes,
we're talking
I
about,
do.
Don't you? Okay. Well, hey, thanks for listening. Stay on the phone. My producer will get the information so we know where to send you the flowers, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kovitko.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kovitko, ici sur votre radio préférée.
You might remember before the break, I was talking to Desiree, and I asked Desiree, who happens to be my front desk supervisor, and I asked Desiree what's been her most rewarding experience since coming to work for us about a year ago. So did you think of an answer?
I did. The first thing popped in my head was an experience we had with one particular patient who had many health problems, and it was a struggle to get her insurance to cover what she needed done with her teeth. And it was, you know, that struggle continued for a while, but we got that done, and she was overjoyed because she was able to get, you know, her teeth straightened by you, Dr. Kovitko, and she was just overjoyed and so thankful, and I'll never forget it. She even left me a little button that says, "I am awesome," for me, so I really appreciate that. I'll never forget that.
That's neat. I think I've actually, I don't know if I've seen the button, but I've seen a little sign. Is that it? It says, "I am awesome." I've seen it.
Yeah.
I wonder where that came from. That's really neat. And so you approach your job knowing that you're helping people, which is how I get up every day in the morning. When I get up, I say to myself out loud a lot of times, "I'm going to change a life today."
Absolutely. That's the best part. It's rewarding. Your career is rewarding for you, and it makes you happy to see these smiles on everyone else's face.
Yeah, and then, you know, because you have these skills, you're always going to be employable. You can work at any state in the nation. I'm not suggesting you move, by the way.
No.
But you can work anywhere. Have you thought of that?
Yeah, but, you know, I like where I'm at. Okay. So I'm
well, no, I would hope you would say that. But, I mean, there's got to be some peace of mind knowing that your skills transfer. They transfer to California. They transfer, you know, to Miss Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. If you're boyfriend, husband, it's boyfriend right now, right?
Yes, boyfriend.
If you guys were to get married and he were to have to move to another state, you'd be able to find employment.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, that's really neat. But don't go anywhere, okay?
I won't.
All right, because we really like having you. So now, okay, now that's the most rewarding, I guess I have to ask. And without names, of course, because you know we have the HIPAA, and you've been very good about not mentioning names. But maybe just explain the situation that maybe was your least rewarding, or something that you just wish you could, some things would have worked out better. Was it somebody whose insurance just said no? Was it somebody who they just needed this work terribly, but they couldn't afford even, you know, 5 cents for toothpaste, you know?
Yeah, there was a patient who needed a lot of work, and she was also having health problems, and it, you know, it just wasn't in her budget, and that just is not what you want to hear.
Yeah, because we know that in a matter of sometimes just hours, we can take them from, you know, whatever they look like today to gorgeous in 5-6 hours.
Yes, but see, you know, doing predeterminations and things, insurance company wouldn't cover it, and that was just not good.
So what would you, what advice do you have for people who have dental insurance in general? Do you, well, first of all, we've come to learn that they don't typically understand it as well as we do, because we deal with it every day.
Right.
And I don't understand medical insurance as well as my doctor would, because I don't deal with medical insurance every day. But if you could give somebody a piece of advice about how they should look at and approach their dental insurance coverage, what would it be?
I would probably say that definitely don't expect 100% coverage from your insurance company, but realize how important it is for you to take care of your teeth, not only just for your health, but in life, it will make a difference in your life. So even when your insurance company doesn't cover procedures, it's definitely still important to get your work done.
Right. And I had a guy on the show, let's see, a few weeks back, and he doesn't call it dental insurance. He pointed out the fact that medical insurance and dental insurance are two completely different animals.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so what he does is he calls them dental benefits.
Okay. Yes, that makes sense.
Because there's definitely a benefit there. It's just not insurance. Because if you get in a car accident, I hope you don't, but if you get in a car accident or somebody does, you go to the hospital, you might run up a $58,000 bill while you're there for all of the services you've received. And for the most part, it's covered, right?
Right.
Well, we can't even get $1,250-some root canal covered because they pay so little.
That's so true. It's so true.
And even more sadly is that same person on the way home from the hospital, if they got in another car accident on the way home and wound up back in the hospital, that would be covered, right?
Right.
Almost all of it.
Yeah, it will.
Because that's what insurance is.
Yeah.
Dental blank isn't insurance, is it? It's
That's true. It's more of a benefit.
Yeah. So, and with medical, you're not really limited to a certain number of dollars per year, mm-hmm. but with dental benefits, you are. And it's how much usually?
Usually $1,000 yearly max.
Yeah. And you know, I've said this over and over, that's been that way since what year, do you remember?
I want to say 1960.
That's it, 1960. 53 years and counting. It hasn't changed. So that makes your job a little tougher, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Do you prefer somebody that walks in the office that has insurance or somebody that walks in the office that doesn't have insurance?
Honestly, I prefer when they don't have insurance because they don't allow insurance to hold them back from the work that is necessary. Sometimes that is the case that we see a lot. A lot of people expect for their insurance company to cover everything 100% or 80% when that's not usually the case, especially when you only get $1,000 max. But when you don't have insurance, you're still expecting to be covering what you need necessarily done.
Right. So you walk in with a mindset that I have a toothache or I have a broken tooth and I know it's going to cost me some money and tell me how much it is and I'll either put it on a credit card or I'll write you a check or maybe I can qualify for that financing that you guys have here at the office. But it's almost like, in a weird sort of way, having dental insurance is detrimental to your dental health.
That seems to be the case anymore.
It's backwards, huh?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And how many people have you talked to by percentage where they call in or they hope to get dental insurance soon? For some reason, they think if they don't have it, they can't come. And somehow they think if they get dental insurance someday, then, you know, life will be wonderful.
Yeah, probably about 50, 60% of the calls are like that.
Okay, wow, that's a lot. So yes. More than half of the people out there. And I know we know that something like only 100 million people in this country don't even have dental benefits, we're going to call them from now on.
Mm-hmm.
We know that 40% of the nation doesn't go to the dentist on a regular basis.
Right.
And so now you're telling me it's 50% or more of the people that maybe do come, they put work off because they think they'll have insurance someday that'll cover it.
Absolutely. It seems like we talked to a lot of people who feel like without having dental benefits, they shouldn't get their work done right now, which is just not true.
Yeah, I have the reverse of that at the other end of the spectrum where you have people that have been coming to the office for every year for, say, 30, and now they're going to retire. And they waited on certain things, and then they say, "Oh, we're going to retire, so we're going to lose our dental benefits. Let's go in and get. Let's go ahead and get that bridge that I've been putting off. Let's go ahead and get that partial, or maybe I want to get a new denture." And they think it's all going to be covered because they've been paying into the system for 30 years, mm-hmm. and they're really angry when they find out that even after 30 years, they still only have that $1,000 coming.
Right, we see that a lot, also. Yes.
So the moral of that story is, if you're somebody that's approaching retirement, don't wait till the last year. You probably need to start thinking about it 5-6 years ahead, and even that's only $5,000-$6,000.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so now what advice would you give people? They're looking for a dentist. What do you think they should be looking for in a dentist? Because you get the phone calls, so you know what kind of questions they're asking. And based on the questions you've been asked, what advice would you give people who are looking for, say, a new dentist?
I would definitely say somewhere that makes you feel comfortable. If you feel a connection to all the staff in the dental office, matter the front desk, the managers, of course the dentist themselves, when you feel that connection to them, that's very important. Your dental office staff should feel like personally take that interest in those patients, and that's what you should probably look for.
Now, you know that here at this office, you know this because you answer the phone, we don't use voicemail. So if somebody calls and gets voicemail, that's not exactly showing them they're going to get great customer service when they get there, is it?
No, you want to speak to a person.
What about the offices that turn their phones off from 11:30 to 1 so they can eat lunch?
Yeah, that doesn't make you feel like you're important to that dental office.
Yeah, we don't do that. And the same thing with evening calls. I mean, we have an answering service. People feel better if they've talked to somebody. Even if that person couldn't handle their issue, mm-hmm. it's like you've been heard, right?
No, definitely.
So I know I'm like that. It's like I hate the... I actually called a bank once. I was dealing with this bank. It's a local bank. And I called and my loan rep said, you know, "I'm sorry, I'm out of the office. If you need help now, dial 2 for Sherry." By the way, the guy that I was calling was Martin. Okay, so I call Martin. It says, "I'm busy or not in the office. If it's important, call Sherry." So I dialed that number, the extension number for Sherry. She had a message that she wasn't in the office that said, "If it's important, you know, dial 3 for Bob." And I dialed 3 for Bob, and he had a message on his that said, "You know, sorry I couldn't get to the phone, but if this is an emergency or urgent, feel free to dial 4 for Frank." And so I dialed 4 for Frank, and he had a message on his machine that said he was busy. Believe that, I'm telling you, this is true. And his message said, if this is urgent and you really need help now, dial 5 for guess who?
Who?
Martin.
Oh, my goodness.
Big circle, the first guy I called.
Yeah, we don't do that. No, we value our patients, so we want them to be able to speak to someone.
Yeah, and even if we don't like what you're saying, we'll do our best to work through the difficult ones. But we're here, and we wanna help people. And mm-hmm. you know, I like to think when somebody picked up the phone and decided to come to us, it's going to be a lifelong association.
Definitely, I agree.
Okay, any words of parting wisdom that you have?
Come to Dr. Kavitko Metnis and Associates.
And speak with Desiree.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Desiree, for doing this. I know that sometimes you guys get a little nervous about being on the radio and all that, but it wasn't too bad, was it?
Not at all.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, thanks so much. And I think let's see who's our next victim going to be. Probably Kendra, right?
Yep. Sounds like it.
Okay. Okay. So let's see if we can locate Kendra.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? Well, you should. Dr. Kavitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He can put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
Hi, this is Jeff with Myers Jewelers. Make that special someone happy with a gift from Myers Jewelers. Myers Jewelers is the home of the world-famous Myers Jewelers Gold Rose, now available in 12 assorted colors. Give the rose that lasts forever. Another great gift is Pandora bracelets and beads. At Myers Jewelers, we have a Pandora boutique within our store, stocked with all the latest Pandora beads and jewelry. Come visit the family on Stringtown Road in Grove City and experience Myers Jewelers.
Tell them make me a grill. I might be grilled out nicely. Oh. In my white tee. Oh. On South Beach. Oh. When I
open up your mouth, your grill gleaming.
Gleaming.
I stay open. Let me see your grill.
Let me see my grill.
Okay, so I found Kendra wandering the halls. Actually, that's not true. She was sitting up at the front. And Kendra, it works at the part of the desk that you see when you first walk in the door. So Kendra is the face of our office. When you walk in, you're going to see her bright, smiling face. So Kendra, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And tell me, how long have you worked at the dental office? Any dental office?
This is actually my first dental office I've worked at. I've worked here for probably 3 months.
Yeah, something close to that. That's right. Well, that's right. You were a friend of Desiree's, so this is your first dental, but you were doing some other office work. What was that for?
It was at a place called EGC. It was more marketing, so I would put ads on Craigslist for jobs and do interviews for job positions within our company.
Oh, okay. Okay. So what made you think you wanted to work in a dental office?
I've always wanted to work in a dental office because it's administrative and paperwork and charting, and it's just fun.
Okay, well, that's neat. So what do you like most about your job?
I like meeting different people. The different people that come through the door, they all have different personalities, and you get to find out what some people are going through, and I learned a lot about teeth as well.
You did? So how many teeth do people have if they have all of them and they're an adult?
You got me.
Okay, I put her on the spot. But you need to know this, so I'll tell you. 32.
32, okay.
And guess how many children have?
How many?
20, if they have all of them. Before they start losing the baby teeth and getting the adult ones in, they have 20.
Okay.
And the way I tell kids when I talk to kids to remember that is, I'll say, now, how many toes do you have? And they look down and they know they have 10 toes. And I'll say, how many hands do you have, fingers do you have? And they look and they say they have 10. And so I tell them, you have 10 fingers on the top of your body, you have 10 teeth on the top of your mouth, you have 10 toes on the bottom of your body, and you have 10 teeth in the bottom of your mouth.
That's cool.
And that's kind of where the decimal system was born, I think.
Yes.
Because people, caveman days, I guess, had to count in with their fingers, right?
Right.
And if they ran out of fingers, they had to borrow their, use toes, and then they had to borrow their neighbor's fingers.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, you primarily then check people in. So your job, tell me your what you see as your job responsibility, and what is it that you'll be doing for people when they walk in the door?
I want to make them feel welcome and comfortable at this dentist's office, and I usually check them in. If they need to take any medications, we will get that prepared for them if they're going to have any type of surgery.
So sedation, you'll get that ready and make sure they've taken it. It's recorded in the book. You make sure that their health history is filled out. What else? I think aren't you the one responsible for like gathering insurance information and stuff?
Yeah, calling and verifying their insurance, making sure that they're covered for any type of work that they want to get done for today.
So we try to do our best to help people with their insurance because they don't really understand it. It's not their fault because I don't know. Like I said, I said when I was talking to Desiree, I don't understand medical insurance. And so I kind of count on my physician's office to kind of help me with that or do it for me, really.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
So you see people when they first come in, and would you say they're more or less nervous when they first come in than when they leave?
I would say they're more nervous when they come in, definitely.
You see it a lot, right? They're like shaking. We have people that like they're in tears, right?
Yes.
Because they're just afraid.
Yes.
Yeah. So how is it? So is it rewarding for you when you walk and watch them walk out and they're smiling or happy or at least not crying?
Yes, I love to see them happy when they leave.
You know, I understand you have a little hobby.
What's my hobby?
Singing.
Part-time hobby.
And you said your mom sings too?
Yes, she does.
Do you sing in the shower?
I love to sing in the shower. That's my best performance.
Because of all the echoing and stuff? Okay. Yeah. In fact, you see on American Idol, some of the people go into the restrooms to practice.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like right or not, because it doesn't make you sound better than you are. And if you're on American Idol.
That's true.
You want to make sure you're, if you can sound good outside, you're probably going to sound good in the shower.
Definitely.
Okay. So what kind of songs do you sing when you sing?
I like to sing R&B songs and usually anthems or something like that.
Okay. Who's your favorite artist?
I love Mariah Carey.
You do? Yeah. What's your favorite song of hers?
Honey.
Honey? I don't think I know that one. How does it go?
Actually, it's called Fantasy.
So oh, Fantasy?
Not Honey. Yes.
Okay. So it's called Fantasy. How does it go? Like, you know, some of the words or...
Sweet, sweet fantasy, baby. That song.
Okay. Well, that helps a little bit. I'll have to look it up online and listen to the whole thing to see. Do you know if Mariah has any songs that have the word smile in them, or teeth, or happy, or... Because I like to find songs with those words in there, and I use them on the show.
No, but I can find out for you.
Okay. Okay. Find me some songs that will work for the show. Okay. So, now, in high school, how did you get to where you went into working at companies, like the company before this? Is it right out of high school? Did you do any business training?
Yes, I went to two different career centers. I went to Southeast Career Center for business administration, and then I went to Eastland Career Center for administrative support.
They're completely different courses?
Yes, but administrative tasks are included with both of them. So you have to be computer literate and learn telephone etiquette as well.
So why two career centers? One wasn't good enough, or did your family move?
No, in ninth grade, it was where I was living. I was living closer to Groveport, so I had to go to Southeast Career Center. And then my senior year, we moved, and I was closer to Eastland Career Center, so I went there.
Okay, which one did you like better?
Eastland.
Okay. All right. And lots of folks there. I mean, the classes are full. Everybody, are these classes that just almost like a lottery to get into because more people want into them than they have spots for?
Yeah, it's like that. You have to apply early in order to get in.
As a freshman?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And your guidance counselor helps you with that?
Yes, I loved my guidance counselor. She was a big help.
Okay. Well, give her a shout out. What's her name?
Marilyn.
Okay, Marilyn. And Kendra says,
I say hi and thank you very much.
That's always neat. And I know that the counselors, you know, they do that because they love helping folks. And for some reason, we never forget our guidance counselor. We never forget our kindergarten teacher. Sometimes you remember your first grade teacher and maybe like a high school teacher, but there are a few that you just always remember.
Yes, I remember my first grade teacher.
Yeah. You don't remember kindergarten?
No, I don't remember kindergarten.
Now, have you had a real rewarding experience here at the office? Is there one patient in particular, without naming names, that maybe you could tell us the situation they were in and how you helped them with it?
You know, Dr. Kavitko, I've only been here for about 3 months, so there's not really a situation that sticks out more than another. But I was able to help someone that came in, and he wanted to get some work done with us, and we weren't in his network.
For his insurance company?
Right, for his insurance.
So that was something that you wished would have turned out differently or better?
Yes, because he was very excited for his appointment, and he just seemed sad when he left.
Did you try to explain to him that being in and out of network really isn't as different as people think? Do you understand the difference, or what I would say in that instance? Or
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let me just explain that. The way I look at it, first of all, if your insurance company is suggesting you go to a certain doctor, you have to ask yourself, why does your insurance company care? Who are they looking out for? Do you know who they're looking out for, the insurance company? Were they like on the side of this patient? Were they helping him?
Wouldn't they help the customer, the patient?
Are you thinking that that was their goal?
Maybe not.
You don't really know? Well, think about it. Why does the insurance company care what dentist a person goes to? There can only be one reason that I can think of. And what do you think of one?
They want to make sure they get paid.
Who gets paid?
The insurance company.
Well, the insurance company gets paid by the employer. So here's my take on it. The only reason an insurance company would care where a person goes for their dental care is if the insurance company makes more money. You actually were kind of on it. Maybe I didn't understand what you meant. So they want you to go to a dentist that's giving them deep discounts, because that way the insurance company gets to keep more of what I would say is your money. They keep more of your money if you go to an in-network dentist and you don't get the... Do you think they get the same care there?
No.
Not at all, right?
Not at all.
Because you've seen it. You know people that have gone to the offices where they're in-network. And it's not that they're bad dentists, and they're probably very nice people, but when they're forced to take shortcuts, something has to give, right?
Right.
And usually that is time. They do everything quickly or kind of rush people in. In fact, I had a guy just yesterday. I'll say first name only. Paul. Remember Paul?
Yes, I remember Paul.
Okay. He's kind of a rewarding one, huh?
Yeah.
But you know what he told me?
What did he say?
He said, Dr. Kavitko, I came to you because I know you're the best. Now, I don't know how he knows that because he hadn't been here yet, but I appreciate his sentiment. But he said, the last office I went to, it was like cattle. They just wanted to rush everybody in and rush them out. Now, why would an office do that unless they were having to work for peanuts?
not sure.
I mean, if you had a lemonade stand and you were going to charge 50 cents for a glass of lemonade, and you knew that it cost you so much for sugar and so much for the Kool-Aid mix and so much for ice and so much to make your little posters, right, that said Kool-Aid stand or lemonade stand. And then all of a sudden somebody came along and said, Kendra, you can't sell it for 50 cents. We have a rule in this neighborhood. You can only charge, it would be, let's see, it's 40% discount. What's 40%? 30 cents.
I wouldn't like that.
Because you might not be able to cover your cost, right?
Right.
And when somebody goes to a network dentist, that's what the network dentist is dealing with. It's just people don't know. Anyway, okay. Any words of wisdom before I let you go?
Come see Dr. Kavitko.
You know what? I did not put her up to that. And Desiree said something similar, and I swear I didn't put her up to it either. Well, that's really nice of you to hear, from me to hear that. All right, so thank you so much, and I guess it's probably time to get back to work, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Bye now.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko after these messages.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kavitko aquí en su estación favorita.
I'm gonna miss that smile. I'm gonna miss you, my friend. Even though it hurts the way it ended up, I do it all.
All right, and we're back, and we don't have a lot of time. Let me just mention that Friday, April 5th from 7 until 4, at 4241 Kimberly Parkway, that is Fixari Dental near Eastland Mall. They will be doing a Dentistry from the Heart event just like we do. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and please tune in next Sunday at 8 and every Sunday at 8.
Be sure and tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kavitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kavitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kavitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkavitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.